Someday I'm going to make Warframe happen. And then you'll be sorry. Then we'll be talking about Tenno's and glaives.
Oh, no.
Not the glaive.
Oh, no. I thought we'd get more, at least a little bit more mileage out of the old school Bionicle cast, but...
Oh, we're definitely getting more mileage out of that. I have that. I have all of the Flash games now installed on my computer, and I am slowly going through them.
Perfect.
There's plenty more Bionicles to come, don't you worry.
I prepared a bright spot this time.
I have also prepared a bright spot. Okay, I am ready to go. My bright spot.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot going on lately. My bright spot is incredibly mundane and very boring, and it is Dr. Browner's peppermint soap.
Perfect.
Tell me about it. It's fantastic. I've now hit the part of my running program where it is getting to be too many miles. And it is still hot as hell in the Northeast. So I end up running like 5 or 6 miles. And then I come back and it has been 85 degrees in that. And I am just like absolutely decimated. I finally went and got my favorite summertime shower supply, which is Dr. Browner's peppermint soap. And it is soap that has actual peppermint extract in it.
Okay.
So yeah,
like a tea tree oil kind of sensation out of it.
Yeah. And it's just like when everything is just muggy and gross and hot and terrible, at least there's just like a thin film of cooling peppermint on me. And it has the past like 2 weeks, it has brought me immense joy to have that going on finally.
It's like experiencing, was it Take Five gum? What was that called?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think it's Take Five.
It's like one of those commercials. Yeah. Put in your shower.
Yeah. Oh, it's just Five gum. Take Five is a candy bar.
Oh, that's the candy bar with the pretzels in it.
Which is also good, but not like Goosebumps good. Like Five gum.
No. And you wouldn't want the gum and the candy bar at the same time. That would be terrible.
That'd be terrible. Five gum is the Axe body spray of gum, I think. Just it conjuring it in my mind, that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So my bright spot is are you familiar with Defunctland, the YouTube channel?
Yes. I've never watched any of it, but I have heard of it.
Okay. So they do like primarily videos about theme parks and usually theme parks that maybe no longer exist or rides that no longer exist. Although one of my favorite videos from that channel is Disney Channel's theme, A History Mystery. And it is exploring the origins of that little four-note bumper that they would play during the like wand breaks.
Oh, on like drag out kids or whatever.
Yeah, they drag out one of the stars of the day to like draw the Mickey with a glow stick and play that little four note. It's an hour and a half long video. I have watched it 3 times, and I have cried each time watching that video. It is
interesting.
Amazing. Yeah, so I'm not going to describe any more of it than that, because I feel like that's enough of a teaser. Hey, check out this Disney Channel theme. Warning, you may cry.
Holy shit. Okay. I will throw that in the show notes and also just add this video to the watch list. Oh, yeah, from 2020.
It's a good one.
A History Mystery. Okay. All right.
Give that one of you when you are prepared for it.
When I am emotionally prepared to see Hannah Montana and weep.
Yeah. It's not like... just watch the damn thing.
Okay.
Yep,
we'll do.
Just watch it. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of crying, today we are going to talk about one of the more iconic and, for some people, traumatic pieces of content in RuneScape.
Okay.
cast your eyes back in time to what, October 4th, I believe. Yeah, October 4th, 2005.
Uh-huh.
That's where we're going. So old school RuneScape, when updates happen, basically everything is known about that piece of content before it hits the live game. Especially anything major. It's been hashed out to death in the subreddit and through the YouTube live streams, and usually it goes through like multiple rounds of revision with player feedback, and it's a whole freaking thing.
So that's mm-hmm. surprising to me. So they don't just like here's some patch notes, go have fun. What comes out.
Yes. It is, well, because everything has to get voted on. I mean, not everything with an asterisk.
Yeah.
After it gets voted on by the player base. And yeah, this is like an outgrowing of them transitioning from RS2 to RS3 and losing most of the player base by changing how the combat works and some of the things we've touched on in the past. So, like, by losing player trust in a very significant way, this was how they chose to earn it back.
Okay.
It is a relatively successful system, I think. But the downside of that is you don't get a lot of surprises.
Yeah. Okay.
And when you do, people are usually pissed.
That just makes sense. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I don't think it's typically warranted, especially to the degree that some people take it, for sure. But I see where it comes from. Sure. But back in 2005, you would, you know, get home from the 7th grade and turn your computer on, and there would be, like, a whole new area or a new boss or 3 quests that you had zero idea existed until the moment it hit the live game.
That sounds like joy right there.
Yeah. As long as it's not, you know, completely overhauling the combat system and eliminating PvP and changing all the trading mechanics and ruining the game you love forever.
But that's only like 2 years away, so you still got time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So today we are going to talk about the fight caves and Jad specifically. I don't think we've touched on any of these things before.
No, I think you're actually betraying the first rule of fight caves by even talking about it.
Exactly. Okay, so we had a good episode. We'll end it there. Thanks for listening, everyone. No. Okay. So, man. We've done a fair bit of like pretty bog standard European high fantasy business so far.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wanted to like kind of switch gears a little bit and show off some of the things from this world that are not that. And this is one of them. So we're going to talk about the Tsar, the volcano on Karamja you can climb down, and you end up inside this volcanic layer, and there is a brand new tile set down there. It looks incredibly alien and foreign. It's all like onyx and magma. There's an entire race of obsidian beings down there. And one of the activities is the Tsar fight caves. I guess a quick word on pronunciation. I will be saying things incorrectly, and we're all going to have to just live with that.
I don't know how they're supposed to be said, so you got a clean pass on me.
So, you know, that's like a thing with this game, is how the hell do you say half these words? So Tsar is actually T-Z capital H-A-A-R.
Oh.
Pronounced okay. Z-A-R. I found a pronunciation guide that Jagex released a number of years ago, and I scrolled through it, and I was like, boy, we all say a lot of shit wrong. including the devs. They've also released videos of, Jagex has released videos of them asking the devs, how do you say this word written on this sheet of paper? And you'll get 6 different answers from 6 different people.
Perfect.
And a 7th if you ask someone from the community. So we're gonna stumble our way through it. Okay, so the fight caves are a wave-based minigame, combat-centric. At the very end, the last monster you fight is Jad, who I'm going to drop you a picture of here. When Jad was released, Jad was the scariest thing on the planet, and in some ways still is to me. At the time, he was the strongest monster in the game by, I want to say, a pretty wide margin.
There's our guy, Jad. All right. He looks like a giant red bear with some spikes on him.
Yeah. 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 He's
demonized.
Big. Like, let me find... Oh, here. Here's something with a little bit of scale. He's probably like 2.5 times as tall as a human character.
Oh, well, and he shoots fireballs.
He shoots all kinds of things. This guy is a monster in every definition of that.
When you said Jad, this is not what I had imagined. For some reason, I just imagined another player who was just a real chud.
There's plenty of those too. Fortunately, this is a solo mini game, so you don't have to deal with that.
Okay.
At the time Jad was released, he was the strongest monster. Before that, it was the Calphite Queen, which I don't know if we've talked about the Calphite Queen.
No.
Probably not. Calphites are a species of gross chittering bugs.
Okay.
Like beetle scarab kind of things. They're in the desert. All right.
That's fun.
Yeah, and the Calphite Queen is a big scary boss at the end of a long cave, and it attacks with all three combat styles. It preys against your combat. It was combat level 333. The highest a player could get at the time was 126 as a combat level. Yeah, so a beefy character at 333.
And you're telling me Jad here is better than
Jad's
the Calphite?
A little spookier than the Calphite, yeah. Yeah, and the Calphite Queen can be fought in multi-combat. So at the time, you would go down there with, like, your clan and try to kill the Calphite Queen. And the Calphite Queen was the only thing that dropped the Dragon Chain body. So it was really cool to, like, go as a group and try to get a really expensive item that way. And before that, the biggest monster was the King Black Dragon, who we will absolutely talk about at some point. Again, another group boss with some drops. And then we get Jad, which is at the end of a 62-wave combat? Yeah, 62 waves. And this guy's level 702.
Oh, that's a lot. That is several more.
Yeah. He was supposed to be 720. So there's a couple other monsters in the fight cave we'll get to, and the previous toughest one that you encounter is half of that. So they wanted to double that monster to get to 720. That couldn't happen because the way the game was coded at the time, NPC hit point level was capped at, or NPC hit point level was capped at 255, and they needed to go to 320 to get him up to level 720. So, because of that cap, he's only level 702.
Gotcha. Only.
Yeah. Attacks with all three combat styles, melee, ranged, and magic. Melee and ranged both have a max hit of 97. Magic has a max hit of 95.
Okay.
Your max HP without manipulating it with potions and things like that is 99, if you are level 99 in HP.
Yikes.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, okay, this is a one-hit machine. Perfect.
This is, yeah. If you mess up, he kills you. Probably. God, it's scary. It's scary is the thing that I'm trying to get across. So, The fight capes. The only information you have as a player going in at the time was from the blog post about the release. And really all they said was that, hey, the King Black Dragon, the Kalphite Queen are both really cool, so we added another boss. This one's a little bit different. There's waves of enemies. It's single player. Try to stay alive as long as you can. Good luck.
Okay. Is there a lot of single player content in this kind of way in RuneScape around 2005? Or is it more of a like a clan setup that you were talking about before?
It's a little hit or miss. The bossing was definitely group centric.
Okay.
Old school RuneScape has geared a little bit more towards soloable stuff, but maybe not intentionally so. It's a little bit more balanced now, I would say. Back then, if you wanted to go fight the Kalphite Queen by yourself, you would die. You couldn't do it. You'd die. You die. With modern knowledge, you could probably get away. You might be able to get away with it.
Yeah, and I'm sure like power creep and everything has made some of those fights basically nothing.
Yeah. The Kalphite Queen still slaps the hell out of you, I will say. King Black Dragon, like I do remember doing that as a mass, and now you can totally solo KBD without really any issue. Kalphite Queen you can solo also. Typically you're only gonna get 1 to 3 kills a trip before you have to re-gear. There's also been like knowledge advancements around tick manipulation and how the game works under the hood. So like there are various items. Have we talked about like eating or tick eating? Does that sound familiar? We'll talk about tick eating when we get to chat.
I feel like we've mentioned it a little bit, but no. Isn't it basically that you want to click at a very specific time to like hit the ticks right or something?
So, yeah, so the whole under the hood RuneScapes is like a rhythm game, honestly. It runs on a 0.6 second clock. It's kind of like a turn-based game on 0.6 seconds that you can't pause, if you want to think about it that way.
Okay.
So you're queuing up an action, and every 0.6 seconds, it's just going to take the most recently queued action.
Mm-hmm.
And perform whatever that is. Ish. Put an asterisk at the end of all this, because it ends up being slightly more complicated than that. But that gives us enough understanding. There are a few items that interact differently with that system. Typically with food, you can only eat food every so often. Or drink a potion every so often. Or attack. And there's a cooldown that happens on all of those things once the action's carried out. There is an item called a cooked karamblon, which ignores that penalty. So if you do things right, you can eat a normal piece of food, drink a potion dose, and eat a cooked karamblon all in one game tick. But you have to click all three of them in the right order very quickly.
Okay.
And that means you can heal, I don't even know what the max number is. In the 70s, I want to say, off the top of my head. Levels of hit points. 2005, we didn't know any of that. You'd shove a shark in your face for 20, and then like 2.5 seconds later, you'd shove another shark in your face for 20 and hope.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty big difference just in survivability. So at the time, yeah, it was pretty group-based for anything. Really anything past combat level 100 scared the heck out of me as a kid. And Jad, top of the list. I don't know if I was playing in 05. Was I? I don't remember. I don't remember if I remember Jad coming out. Either way. So you don't really know what's going on when you go in. You go to the city of Mor-el-Rek, which is inside of a volcano. You go into this fight arena, and I want to say there's like a dialogue box that pops up and it's like, hey, this is going to suck for you. Good luck. that's about it. Great. So there was a lot of like trial and error, and it kind of had some of the vibes of like the schoolyard bullshitting about, you know, like how to clone in Pokemon or how to catch Mewtwo in Red, like that kind of nonsense. So we're going to talk about this mostly from a modern perspective, because my historical knowledge isn't as great about the launch time, and now all those forums are gone, so I've lost some resources there. So now all of this stuff is solved to an absolutely disgusting degree.
Sure.
And that was actually pretty recent. Like within the last few years, people have gotten very weird about the fight caves and trying to do them with either no prayer at all or the lowest combat level possible. There's all kinds of crazy stuff. Maybe we'll do a whole like 30 minutes someday on just the shenanigans people have done in here. But for most players, this is going to be mid-level combat. The reason we're doing it is if you can beat it, you get a cool cape.
Oh. And
there are few things better than a cool cape in this game.
That's like the whole point of the game, is you got to get all the capes.
You got to get the capes. Now, this one is very neat visually at the time. And it also provides really, really, really good bonuses. It was the best melee cape in the game for like a decade because it has a strength bonus. It's one of the very few capes that has the ability to increase your maximum hit in melee.
Okay.
And the way damage is calculated, that's a big deal. So, melee combat, we're going to talk about this like a tabletop game. You would roll to hit, just like you would in like a D&D, and then you would roll damage. That all happens behind the scenes. They may have changed this now. I'm a little out of it. But damage include... You could hit and still roll a zero on your damage roll.
Oh.
Yeah. So anytime you can add a max hit, you are decreasing the possibility of that zero coming up on the damage roll. Because it's just a flat probability curve from zero to whatever your max hit is. It's randomly going to pick one of those numbers equally weighted every time, just like you're rolling a d20.
Yep.
So bumping up that max hit is going to lower the chance of hitting the zero. If you're talking about, you know, rolling to hit once every 2.4 seconds for like an hour and a half, that
adds up.
Yeah, it can end up being like thousands of XP an hour, depending on the activity. So it's a big deal. I'm going to send you the cape here. This is the fire cape.
Oh, it's not just a cool symbol?
It's not just a cool symbol. This cape moves in game. Wow. OneNote is being incredible right now. It's copying a picture of the...
Oh, wait, I think I got it.
You got it? Okay.
Yeah. This flowing magma cape?
Yes. Also known as the pizza cape. For cheese-based reasons. Look at that thing.
Yeah, look at that. Okay, yeah. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
So, yeah, and especially when this thing came out, capes were, like, not super useful. Now there's a lot of really useful capes. But back then, you'd get a little bit of a defense bonus, maybe a little bit of prayer bonus. This thing has attack bonuses. It gives you a +1 attack in each combat style, which isn't a lot. +11 for defense, which is pretty good. +2 on prayer, which is quite good for a cape. And then the +4 strength, giving you usually an extra hit, depending on how the math works out.
Okay. Yeah, this is incredibly useful. Worth going up against a level 702 monster.
Uh-huh. And it was also one of those things where if you saw someone with that, you're like, man, that dude's way cooler than me.
which is generally how I treat people with capes, just out in the world.
Yeah, that's what capes are for.
That guy's got a cape?
Uh-huh. And this one does count as like a warm piece of clothing for some of the wintry areas. I think it counts as a light source too, maybe? I'd have to check on that one. But yeah, this cape was a big deal. If you saw someone wearing this cape as a middle schooler, you were like, man, one day, I swear, one day I will also have the pizza cape.
Someday. Do you have a pizza cape?
I do have a pizza cape. Hell yeah. Having the pizza cape now is nothing. No one cares.
It's pretty mundane.
Yeah, it's incredibly mundane for like 85% of the player base or more. I still think it's super cool. It was a big chip on my shoulder for a long time. So now it's like a status symbol in the other direction. It's not impressive if you have a pizza cape. It is shameful if you do not.
Huh. Okay.
So yeah. if you are one of these noobs running around in an obsidian cape and your combat level is like in the 90s, everyone knows you're a chud who can't get through the fight games because you should have that thing by now. And I was definitely in that camp because this thing scared the heck out of me for a while. I actually had my quest cape before my fire cape, which is exceedingly shameful by the player base of standards, and I don't care anymore at all.
Huh.
Yeah.
So is there not like a quest related to Jad?
Nah. You just walk in there and do it.
Huh. Okay.
You can walk in there at any time. It's not hard to get to it. There's a couple ways there by boat. There's a fairy ring nearby. Fairy ring BLP is the code for it, and that's seared into my brain forever. I don't think we've talked about fairy rings. We'll do fairy rings some. We'll do travel sometime, maybe, like various teleports. The thing that holds you back is A, getting through the 62 waves, because that takes time, and then sure. You have to fight the level 700 guy at the end. So you've now gone through all of these waves of combat, draining your supplies, building your nerves, draining your focus, and then you have to do this rhythm game where if you mess up once, this thing probably one-shots you.
Yeah.
And since it's level 700, its defense is real high. It's got a ton of hit points. So, like, it's not a particularly fast fight. There's a couple other things with the Jad fight itself. But to start with, the cave isn't too bad. I found the picture I was going to send you of the cave. So here is that. It's not huge. You can't quite see from one end to the other. It doesn't fully render by default. There it is.
Oh,
so there's
okay.
Our cave. It's like relatively organic. It's kind of squarish, and it's also kind of split into quadrants. Different people have different strategies on how they handle the arena itself. If you look on the right side, there's like an indent that is vaguely boot-shaped.
Yes.
That is known as Italy Rock. That will ring a bell to any of our listeners who have done this. That's where most people deal with the fight caves. So let's kind of get into how this works mechanically. And why that rock is potentially important. The fight cave is semi-randomized, so the waves are set every time with the same monsters. So wave 1 always spits out the same monster no matter what. Wave 55 always spits out the same set of monsters. But the placement can shift around.
Okay.
So we now know that there are 15 possible rotations. That number is determined when you walk in. It's roughly based on the time of day when you walk in there. So you can do some shenanigans to try to get the rotation you want. This is important because it determines where Jad spawns for the final wave.
Oh.
And since that dude can one-bop you, you need to make sure you can see him when he spawns so you can correctly pray against that attack.
Because
he can spawn off-screen and drop a rock on your head for 97. And
that sounds like some bullshit.
It is. Yeah. The fight caves are some bullshit. I think that might be,
that's the title.
Yeah, you could etch that onto the walls. Yeah, maybe we'll get a, if you're doing some real shenanigans or you are like real concerned about your ability to complete it, you might seek out a specific rotation in order to do that. We're going to go through the various enemy types now. There's only a couple. I think we're going to go with more colloquial names for these guys because they have impronounceable nonsense. So we're going to start with the bat. Tezki? Kai? Who knows? TZ-KIH. Say that however you wish.
Yep.
It's a little bat guy, little fire bat. Here's what he looks like. He's got little flames on his head. He's pretty small. He's only level 10. Not scary at all, really.
Yeah, besides the fire part, not scary.
Besides the fire part. He's level 22. He's got 10 hit points. They attack you with melee. They can hit you for like a 4. Not a big deal. The scary thing about the bat is every time they attack you, they drain you for 1 prayer point. And it doesn't take long in the fight caves to realize that prayer point balancing is really kind of maybe more important than your health. Have we talked about protection prayers? I feel like that's probably come up a little bit.
It's come up. You actually just mentioned not that long ago about praying against hits.
Yeah, so you have access to, if you're high enough level, like mid-40s in prayer, you have access to the Protect from Melee, the Protect from Range, and the Protect from Magic prayers.
Oh, yes.
If you turn those on and you get hit by that same type of attack, it deals 0 damage to you, no matter what. So the caves are full of monsters that attack with various styles, and all of the higher level ones can smack you pretty good. So aside from Jad, we've got the bats, we've got some blobs, which are melee. There's a ranged attack guy, that guy can hit 13s. The big melee ones smack 31s, and the mages can hit 54s. And there'll be, you know, a dozen enemies on the screen at a time. So getting your prayers right is kind of the only way to make it to the end.
Okay. And so by draining prayer points, is this pulling from like a specific pool of number of prayers you can cast throughout the session? Or what does that mean?
Pretty close, yeah. So your starting prayer points are equal to your level in the prayer skill. And the various prayers have a drain value. So depending on the prayer, it will remove a certain number of prayer points from that pool every X number of game ticks.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of want to, so it's timing based, and that's also buffeted by your prayer bonus. So we talked about the fire cape has +2 prayer. The higher your prayer bonus, the longer your prayer is going to last, the slower it drains.
Okay. So this is a prayer based mana pool.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's not too dissimilar from the way hit points or mana would work in another system.
Gotcha.
And there are prayer potions, which restore your prayer points. There are Ceridomen brews also are going to be key for surviving this. So let's maybe look at, this is a little more fractured than, I might just run you through this on a stream someday too, honestly.
Yeah, this seems fun.
Yeah, well, we should do this on a stream. So your setup, normally if you're going to go fight a bunch of monsters, you'd probably wait pretty heavy towards healing. Here, you're going to wait really heavy towards prayer in your inventory because you want to be able to pray against the majority of attacks. If you're tanking hits, something has probably gone wrong.
Okay.
You probably can't do it for very long. So those bats are scary because every time one bops you, you lose a prayer point. Eventually, you're going to have to start chugging prayer potions to make up for that.
Which is taking away actions to do hits and also pray against other hits coming in.
Mm-hmm. And you only have your inventory's worth of stuff that you're bringing in. You can't leave midway through and gear up your inventory and come back in. That would cancel the whole thing. So you have to make it through the gauntlet here. And then when you get to Jad, if you can't pray against Jad, the guy hits 97s. Like that,
yeah, it's just over.
Yeah, there's not really a way out of that unless you're a specific kind of pervert who does the fight caves with no prayer. So the bats, even though they're only level 22 and they have a max hit of 4, the real threat is if they get within range, they're going to start stealing your prayer points. Most of the caves you end up doing using the ranged attack style because you don't want those bats near you. Mm-hmm. You don't want any of these guys up on you because it goes bad. So that's where that Italy rock becomes important, is you can kind of run around and get some of these bigger monsters caught on the geometry.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yep. And then you just bolt them down from there. Some of them, you know, still attack you with ranged and with magic, so they can fight back while in that spot, but then you just want to pray accordingly. So your first wave, you just get a single bat. You shoot him with a crossbow bolt, he dies, wave over. Wave two, two bats. Still not a big deal. Bop, bop.
Okay.
Drop the bats. Move on to wave three. Wave three, we encounter a new enemy, the Tezcac, who is commonly referred to as the Blob. I'll drop you the Blob here. He's got like a melted candle wax sort of body. Still magma creature.
This looks like muck, but made out of magma.
Exactly. And they're a little bit tougher. They're combat level 45. They've got about 20 hit points. They're also melee, and they have a max hit of 7. They also have another weird ability, which is when you kill one of these 45 level mucks, he turns into 2 22 level mucks that are gold. That. And then you
it's
have to kill
least
both of
favorite
them.
Thing that games do.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Don't do that.
Yep.
I already killed your monster. Don't make more of them.
There's more of them. So that starts on wave three. So you go bat, two bats, and then one muck. And then you get a muck and a bat. And then a muck and two bats. And then two mucks. So there's kind of this, like, similar to some of the binary counting we looked at in the 2038 problem.
Two bats equal a muck. Great.
Exactly. Yeah. And the way the waves work is we're going to follow this same pattern where we keep stacking the lower level monsters until that graduates to the next tier.
Ticks
and then
over.
We start that process over again until we get two of the thing. And then it keeps going from there. So after we kill two of the blobs, we run into the Takzil. This is the first ranged guy. This is where stuff starts to get complicated a little bit. So dealing with just the melee ones, you can sort of just keep your distance and shoot them. And it's not really that hard. If you're a lower level, you're going to have some problems potentially. But if you are prepared for the fight caves, any of these guys are not really an issue. But when we encounter the rangers here, look at this little angry golem guy.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Little angry obsidian golem.
Love
this guy.
So this guy,
he shoots out like little porcupine spike sort of things that fly through the air, and they hit you for range damage. They have okay accuracy. It's not uncommon to gear yourself in a way to try to be able to tank these guys. Their max hit's only a 13, so you can soak a few of those without dying. But then again, you run into the supply issues, where if you keep soaking those hits, eventually you're either going to run out of your healing. Whatever your healing consumable is will go away. So we go from two bats all the way up to two blobs. And then we get one of these fellows here. And then we start over again. So we have a ranger and a bat, and then up to two bats, and then the blobs, and then we keep pyramiding our way up until the next one. I'm not even going to try to pronounce this one. YT hyphen M-E-J-K-O-T.
Huh.
No idea.
Nope.
Melee. This is the melee guy. He's like a big red little demon lizard thing in a hoodie.
Oh, this guy looks like a friend.
Yeah.
Or also he sells drugs.
I think both of those can be true.
They both can be true, correct.
Okay. This one, now it's getting a little spooky. This guy's combat level 180. So he's up there a ways. 80 hit points also. So this one takes more than a few arrows to bring down. Max hit of 31.
Oh, yeah, okay. So he can 2 to 3 hit you if even at max level.
Yeah. Yeah. So you want to not get bopped by one of these if you can avoid it. And since he's level 180, his accuracy is pretty good too. So if he gets a swing at you and you're a mid-level account, like you probably are doing the fight caves for the first time, then this guy can be a problem. The nice thing about them is they're big and dumb.
Okay.
So it's really easy to get them caught on the various jags and crags that litter the borders of the cave. They're also big enough that the smaller monsters line up behind them and get stuck also.
Oh, that's handy.
So, if you have, let's say you're on, I didn't put all the waves on here. Whatever wave number it is where you're dealing with one of these guys and maybe two rangers and a blob and two bats all spawn at the same time. So now you want to get them all stuck on the rock while you're praying from ranged, because that ranger is just shooting missiles at you the whole time. But that means you can't be within swiping distance of this big melee guy. So you either have to stay out of his range with your pray from range on, or pray from melee and just tank all the range hits. Typically, you're going to pray range and sort of try to stack up all of these guys on a rock, and then you're going to kill the ranger first, so then you can turn your prayer from range off, and then you're going to take your time mopping up the rest of the guys that are stuck on the rocks.
Okay.
And to do that, this is where gear choice gets a little... I was going to say weird, but I guess it's not weird. You have some options on gear. So we haven't talked too much about, like, spec weapons, special weapons. I don't think really at all.
No, not at all.
Okay, so you have another pool besides health and prayer. You have the ability with certain weapons to do a special attack. And depending on the weapon, the effect is different. The percentage of your special weapon pool it takes up is different. But this is where we see different ways to maybe get health back that's repeatable and it's not tied to a consumable. So something like the Ceridoman God Sword is a big two-handed sword. We'll cover God Swords when we do the God Wars dungeon more. But it's a big two-handed sword. You do your special attack with it. If you hit hard enough, you get some health back and it restores some prayer points.
Okay.
So it's not uncommon.
Good.
Yeah, especially for this sort of slog where you're really just limited by your ability to heal and recover prayer. So it's not uncommon to bring that, kill everything, and then use that big dumb sword either on the blobs or the bats because their defense is really low and try to heal up in between these waves of the scary stuff.
Okay.
Because once you got the guys stuck on the rock, if the rangers are all dead and the majors are all dead and you're just dealing with melee people, you can just, they'll just stand there staring at you, stuck on that rock.
Take them down. Yeah.
Yeah. You can pause, wipe the sweat off your hands, switch to your spec weapon, get some health back. The other common option, so like the Ceridoman God Sword, that thing is like 20 mil plus. It might be more than that now. It's expensive. It's out of the reach of most mid-level players. So like the budget option there is your boy Guthan.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So Guthan comes back. So you'll bring a full melee switch. So you're going to bring the helm, the chest, the plate body, the chain skirt, and the Guthan war spear. And you swap into Guthans after you kill the rangers and the mage guys. And then you use that set on all the melee ones because there's a chance to get some health back using Guthan's set.
Oh, my boy. Out there infesting them all.
Yeah. So now your inventory's getting, like, complicated, because now you're dealing with, like, prayer
full
potions.
Full armor swaps and...
A full armor swap into melee from range. It's getting more complicated as the waves go up. And the first time you see those big scary melee guys is on wave 15 of 62. So it's a slog.
Yeah, yeah. Do the waves start? Like, they basically don't start until you kill everyone, I'm assuming?
Correct.
Yeah,
yep.
Okay.
So it'll hold as long as, so as long as there's one thing alive. The bats and the blobs are too small to get stuck on terrain, but they do get pinned behind the big guys in the hoodies.
Gotcha.
So as long as they're all stuck, you can just
take a breather for a second.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can actually log out and log back in, and it'll put you back at the start of that wave. So even if you need an extended break, it's an option.
Okay. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and once you get down towards, like, wave 61 or so, you grab that last melee guy, and you prepare. I think I, like... got up and walked outside one of the early times when I was doing this. Because again, 62 waves, Jad on the 63rd wave. If you're a mid-level player, getting to Jad, that could be an hour or more straight.
Yeah, and then he drops a rock on your head and it's game over.
In 2 seconds, and it's game over. Yep. And you just spent, probably 100k in supplies, honestly. Wouldn't be uncommon. Because you're using really expensive bolts. All these things have high health. When we talk about the Jad fight, there's some special bolts you use there to try to speed it up. You're chugging prayer potions. You're chugging Ceridoman brews for health. Super restorers to counteract those. So you go through a lot of gold and a lot of time for a mid-level account every attempt on this. So the nerves build.
Sure, yeah. But completely understandable.
Yeah. So, like, once I made a bunch of money, I actually spent... I went back to my old Reddit account and checked. I have paid for at least 8 fire capes that I know of so far of...
Just in supplies. Giving,
yeah, just giving people supplies when they, like, go onto the subreddit and say, hey, I'm level 63. I've never done this before. I'm really scared. How do I start? They're like... Should I bring, like, a rune kite shield, or should I bring this other gear swap? Anytime I see someone, like, really struggling with the fight caves, I'll usually send them a message and give them a bunch of prayer potions and some bolts. And
nice.
Try to fund that, because I have a personal vendetta against this thing forever. I enjoy it. I've got a little statue of the guy on my desk. Like, he's my guy. But still, fuck that guy. So we clear level 15, we kill the guy in the hoodie, we pyramid our way back through the monsters, we hit wave 31, and now we run into these frog bastards. Frog dog, take your pick.
Frog dog.
People describe them a couple different ways.
You know what?
They're pretty big.
It looks like a frog dog to me. That's yep. Just a frog, but shaped like a dog, and a fire
yep.
tail.
Yep. These ones can do magic attacks or melee attacks. And the magic is a 54 max hit.
Yikes.
So, yeah.
And this is halfway through now?
Wave 31. Yep.
Yikes.
Yep. So you pyramid your way all the way up. You get to wave 31. Only one of these guys spawns on wave 31. since they're attacking you with magic, they don't have to get very close. And if you're within range to shoot them, they're going to be within range to fire magic back at you.
Hmm.
So starting at wave 31, protect from magic has to be on or you die.
Yeah.
You die pretty quick. But that also means, like, once you end up with a bunch of monsters, if there's, you know, one of those big melee guys and two rangers out there and one of these big frog dogs and two bats floating around, you're protecting from magic, you're trying to dodge the guy in the hoodie while you're tanking hits from the ranger, running away from the bats because you're running out of prayer points, it gets chaotic.
Yeah, and you're only halfway done. Jesus.
And again, when this came out, no one knew. You didn't know how far it went.
Right.
You didn't know what any of these monsters did. All of that stuff had to be learned. And even knowing all of it, it's still pretty spooky. Because this thing will drop you in, 2-3 hits pretty commonly. And then we build the pyramid all the way back up again. So 31 all the way up to 62 is getting to the point where we have two of these majors out at the same time on wave 62. We're gonna jump over the next 30 waves because it's just the same combinations of these guys pyramiding up until you hit two of the mage at the same time.
So what's the final count on these? It's not still just two bats, two of each of the guys, right?
Let me grab the list here. I'll show you. I didn't put it in my notes because it was too long. So let's see. Wave 58. We'll start there. Maybe wave 58. You've got a mage, a melee, a range, one of the blobs, two bats. Then you go mage, range, melee, two blobs, mage, melee, two range, mage, two melee, and then two mages.
Okay. So you're not dealing with an overwhelming horde of like 50 creatures at this point. It's still like low enough amount that you can at least track them.
Correct. Yeah. And it's not the tricky part is making sure you have the right prayer up at the right time and getting them caught on the rocks somewhere while not tanking too many hits.
Yeah.
And then killing them in the right order. So it's all about like target prioritization primarily.
Okay.
And if we're being honest, the real challenge is like just managing nerves, honestly.
And like the mental stamina of doing this for that long as you get closer and closer to the end.
Exactly. And the closer you get, the you know the stakes are only building. Right. Because, I mean, if you mess up early, because it's not, you tend to want to stretch those supplies out, so you might be a little loose with the prayer early on to see if you can squeeze a couple extra prayer points out. Or you might start prayer flicking, which I don't think we've talked about either.
No.
Prayer flicking is a somewhat controversial mechanic. From my understanding, it was not strictly intended for the game to function this way, but it does, and it has forever, and now people play intentionally around this mechanic, so it's kind of just baked in forever, whether we want it or not. But prayer flicking is the process of turning your prayer on and off to try to save prayer points. So,
okay.
Under the hood, the way that those protection prayers really work is when you get hit with like the range guy, if he shoots those little porcupine spikes at you and those hit you, what it's really checking is was protect range on the tick before the attack hit you.
Okay.
And if that guy's attacking like once every 2.4 seconds or every 3 seconds, there's a significant period of time where you could have that prayer turned off without any consequence.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But if you turn it on too late, you get whacked.
Yeah.
So you can really extend a trip really anywhere that you're relying on prayer by turning those off and then turning them on right before they need to be on and then immediately turning it back off.
That seems incredibly complicated.
Uh-huh. It is. some people will do what's called like lazy flicking, where you just click, 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 click. You just keep turning it on, off, and you get a little bit of the effect of it being off, and the risk of it being off at the wrong time goes way down. So it's kind of in between, and it doesn't take nearly as much like mental stamina and acuity to keep that up. But it's not nearly as effective either.
Yeah, and also it feels like just my luck, I would end up getting hit on the off click anyways, so.
Yeah, yeah. If you do it fast enough, if you're really hammering on that thing, I think you're pretty good. If you're turning it on and off like at least twice every 0.6 seconds, then it will have been on at some point during the previous tick. And the timing of that is also a little finicky. Some attacks, it matters when the attack was made, and some of them, it matters when the attack hits you.
Okay.
And then there's a whole, like, complicated thing we could get into with tick eating, where you're actually trying to eat food as the attack hits you and the damage is calculated to counteract the damage that you've taken. So... yeah, we'll detour into this for just a quick second. You cannot be dealt more damage than you have hit points. So if you only have 10 hit points, the max hit you could take is a 10. Which means if you can eat after the attack, but before the damage is calculated,
mm-hmm.
the max hit is already locked in at 10 when the attack was made.
So you can eat something for 11... and you would
go down to 1.
Receive fatal damage, but have eaten out of it. Okay.
Yep. And there is a stackable food that heals you very minorly that you can bring a whole bunch of them in for. And you can just try to play that rhythm game the whole time.
My God.
Which people have done. It's wild. There's people have done so many like Olympic level nonsense feats in the fight caves. That, yeah, we'll do, like, either a cast or a video or something where I walk you through some of the shenanigans.
The dumb that people have, shit people are doing.
Yeah, it's wild. Absolutely wild. So you hit wave 62. You got two of the frog boys slinging magic at you. It's actually, like, a really chill wave because all you have to do is throw a protect for magic on and you don't tank any hits at all. So that's another time where you can just sit there. Just two of the frogs.
Oh.
That's it. Yeah. There's your standard reddish frog, like I sent you, and then there's an orange one also. So one red, one orange. This is important because where the orange one spawns is where Jad will spawn on the next wave. So you want to be in a spot, if you haven't memorized the rotations and you don't know where the thing's going to show up, you want to be in a spot where you can see these things spawn. You find the orange one, you sit there with Protect from Magic on, you gather your resolve, and then you arrow those guys down and get ready for Jad.
Okay.
So that way, at least, it's not a secret where Jad's going to show up.
Yeah, yeah.
Assuming
you do
figured
have to be
out
clued into that the orange one is where he spawns, but yeah.
Which, yeah, at the time... people didn't know, but now, if you're attempting this thing currently, that's a piece of game knowledge you'll go in with. The Jad fight. Boy, the Jad fight. So you've now been doing this for upwards of an hour. You are dwindling on supplies. Probably resolve as well.
Fortitude. Waning.
Yep. And... If you've got the supplies for it, you're going to overeat. There's a couple items like the like an angler fish. There are angler fish in the RuneScape universe, and those allow you to overheal. So you can actually have more than 100 hit points when you start the Jad fight. if you have more than 99 hit points, they slowly tick down over time until you level out at 99. But
okay.
That does mean you can probably tank a hit now.
Yeah, at least take one.
Yeah. And there's a chance. I mean, sometimes Jad will hit you for like a 2. That can happen. He's got the same damage mechanics as everyone else, but sometimes he just kills you. Sometimes he just kills you.
Ugh.
So, typically you're going to be doing this with a crossbow as your weapon early on. As you're getting ready for the Jad fight, you might want to switch your crossbow bolts, because there are some special bolts that you can use that hit a little bit harder.
Okay.
We're going to gloss over some of the crossbow stuff. Maybe we'll do like a range topic sometime. But the primary ones are going to be enchanted ruby bolts and enchanted diamond bolts. The diamond bolts have a chance to ignore the monster's defense. So that's going to basically just make you far more likely to hit. Jad has a really high defense level because he's, you know, huge and he's level
big monster.
700 and something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the ruby bolts, these ones are interesting. These you use at a lot of bosses. So the ruby bolts have a special effect called blood forfeit.
I love that. I already love the ruby bolts.
The ruby Tell bolts. It makes a scary noise when they proc, when they go off. And what happens is it takes 10% of your health away, and it takes 20% of your opponent's health away, capped at 100.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's real handy for a boss encounter like this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real handy for every boss everywhere. Can speed things up quite a bit. So Jad has 250 hit points. So you can drop him down real quick if those things go off. And anytime you're doing some of these higher level bosses, there will be like an inflection point. Usually you bring both of those bolts. So you'll have the ruby enchanted. You'll start the fight with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when their health drops far enough that 20% of their max health is no. Exactly. Then you're going to switch to the diamond ones, which just make you a little bit more likely to hit.
Okay.
And the nerds have done the math to figure out where that line is, depending on the monster and your gear and all that stuff. So that's information you can plug into a spreadsheet and find out if you need to.
Yeah. But that is still, like, those ruby bolts, they have a very good effect. But also, when his max hit is over 90 and you are most likely only at 99, like, you are also still within one hit territory now.
Yes. Yeah, you're going to take 9 or 10 for of that, depending on where you're at. Which usually isn't as big of a deal on Jad, but it can be. So, what I do is I switch to those bolts for the last frog, because ideally, you don't want to be messing with your inventory too much.
Yeah, you just want to have it
while
ready.
Trying to focus on Jad. Okay, let's talk about the Jad fight. The examine text on Jad. This is going to hurt. That is what the game tells you if you right click on him.
Great.
So Jad can attack with melee, with ranged, and with magic. Only do melee if you are standing within melee distance. So unless you are trying to do the fight caves using a melee weapon for a reason, which there are reasons to do that, but typically you want to not be standing next to the guy, and that will keep him to just using ranged and magic to attack you.
Okay.
So we'll assume that's what we're doing. We're going to assume we're on a mid-level account, rocking like a rune kite shield and a rune crossbow, shooting these bolts at him. You want to stay a couple steps away. There are two different animations Jad has when he attacks. He'll either hop up on his hind legs, and there's kind of a yellow halo glow above him, and then he'll shoot a magic attack at you. Or he'll pop up on his hind legs, slam the front legs down, and then giant rocks from the sky fall and land on you. And that's the ranged attack.
Okay.
each has a different sound cue and that different visual animation. So now the game is shoot your bolts at Jad and make sure you have the correct prayer on when he attacks.
Yeah.
So Jad attacks, it plays the sound, and it does the animation. And you need to know either visually, auditorily, or both, is the attack that's about to happen going to be magic, or is it going to be ranged? And then you need to switch your prayer to make sure you aren't going to soak that damage.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem too bad yet. Super easy.
The stakes are very high, but yeah, yep. It sounds manageable.
And so the first thing that complicates this is you don't have the option of having the prayer menu open to switch between those prayers. You can't have that up at the same time you're looking at your inventory. Which means you have to flip back and forth between those two interfaces if you need to drink a prayer potion to keep your prayer up, or if you need to eat because you took a hit, and then you got to switch, you know, quick flip back and then switch your prayer again, depending on his attack. You can do that with just the mouse. Most people bind those different interface menus to the F keys across the top of the keyboard.
Okay.
So usually you'll hit like you'll hit F2 to switch to one of them and like F4 to switch to the other one. So you'll be doing the left hand on the F keys and the right hand on the mouse. So let's say your prayer's getting low. You'll wait until he attacks and you'll pray magic to that attack. And then quick flip over to your inventory, drink a prayer potion, click on Jad to start attacking him again, and then switch back to your prayer menu and get ready to make that next decision on the next attack.
Oh, that seems tough.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
So, and this again, after all of the other stuff, you're now doing this. So let's say you're doing good at that. You're not missing any of your prayer switches. You're still chugging potions. You're staying topped off. Things are going great. Jad is down to half health. You are an excited boy because you're going to get that fire cape.
Yes.
Yes. Unfortunately, we are not done complicating this. At half health, Jad spawns the last monster type we're going to see in the fight caves. And they are these little guys here, which will look familiar.
Okay.
It looks like our hoodie guy again, except yeah. These ones are, they're just little guys. They're just little guys. They're smaller than you.
Oh.
That's not bad.
Little no, hoodie that's fine. Guy.
Yeah, there's only four of them.
Okay.
Not terrible. They spawn in a location, and then what they do is they walk over to Jad, and they heal him.
No, they don't.
They heal him, my friend.
So,
the new wrinkle is you have to either kill them or attack them early enough that they come and attack you instead of healing Jad.
Okay.
But you have to do that while you're still maintaining the prayer switches.
Right.
From our big scary boy there. And let's say you attack all of them once. You grab aggro from all four of them. They're no longer healing Jad. But they are punching you in the dick.
Great.
So now your health is going down
while
you're shooting bolts at Jad, which means now you have to make sure you don't run out of prayer points, and you don't run out of health points, and you don't miss a prayer switch.
Yeah.
Because any of those things can kill you. And this is when you die. This is when you typically die, is adding on the mental load of tagging those four little guys.
Are they a couple, easy to kill?
Yeah, they're not bad. They're pretty low. What are their numbers? I have them. They're level 108. They have 60 hit points. They max a 14. And there's four of them. So they can do some damage.
Yeah, chop you down pretty quick.
Yeah. That's why typically you bring like a rune kite shield for defense bonuses, both for these guys and to hopefully stop some of the damage coming in from the rangers. So that's when it gets dicey, is trying to figure out how you, and if you can deal enough damage, maybe you only have to tag two of them, and two of them can be healing Jad. Or now, if you got the gold for the good stuff, you can just power through. Which I've done a few times now. There's a couple healing? Items. Yeah, you just out DPS him. You just out DPS the healer. That was not an option in 2005 at all. That wasn't an option until relatively recently, until our friend of the toxic blowpipe and dragon darts. So we'll cover why on that on our eventual either toxic blowpipe or Zalra episode. But so if you manage to kill Jad, assuming you don't also die, you are then awarded with the fire cape.
Nice. Okay.
The fire cape's untradeable, so this is the only way to get it, is to go through the fight caves, the gauntlet of the fight caves here. Unfortunately, that means if you die and you lose it, then you gotta
do it again.
And another wrinkle, an update much later, much more recently, there is now an inner sanctum sort of space in Mordelrec, in the city of the Tsar. And to access that, you have to sacrifice a fire cape to the guard at the door there as proof that you are worthy of entering the inner sanctum.
This fire cave, it's nothing to me, baby. I'll burn this up right in front of you. I'll go get another one. Jad, we're best buds in a antagonistic kind of way.
And just to kind of maybe tease the next part, inside that inner sanctum, there is another Tsar, Tsar Ketrock, I think is his name. And he has a special challenge mode where you can fight up to 6 Jads at once.
No.
So it's just you in a circle.
Great.
You standing in the middle of a circle of 6 of these dudes.
Great.
You have to work your way up. So you start by just fighting 2, and you have to.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, just 2. I've done 2. I think I did 3 during the last league because there were some combat bonuses that made it significantly easier. But yeah, you work your way all the way up to 6, and the mechanics don't change. So it's just you standing in a center of a circle of 6 of these big bastards, and you have to time each one of those prayer switches for all 6. So you have to get them attacking in a specific order. And if you move incorrectly and 2 of them attack you at the same time, then you typically just die. Yeah. Yeah. So that becomes a whole thing. And then on top of that, there is a Fight Caves Part 2, which is substantially harder.
Great.
And ends with an upgraded fire cape, which is currently the best in slot for your melee cape.
Okay. Do you have the better fire cape?
Oh, absolutely not. Okay. Not even a little bit. I have not seriously even tried to do that. It is... I could probably do it if that was a thing I wanted to do. But it would take a long time, and I would spend a lot of money doing it.
Does it have a better animation? This is the important aesthetics. Is it much better looking?
Yeah. Here, I'll... Let me find the Inferno is the upgraded fight cave.
It's a good name.
Tiz Kalzuk is the Jad equivalent, the big bad at the end of that one. And he's a real spooky boy. So here is Zuck, as he is known colloquially.
Oh,
he's
shit.
A big one. Yeah. You can tell the art style and the ability of the design team has definitely evolved since the early ones.
This monster has twice as many polygons as all of the fight cave monsters combined.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a big scary boy.
Because this one doesn't have to run in a browser.
Yeah, yikes. Does he just stand in lava?
He stands in lava, yeah.
Great.
Yep.
Nothing yep. more we'll hard-ass we'll than a guy who stands in the inferno.
Uh-huh. And there's, like, that one goes up to even more waves than just the fight caves do. And there are Jad equivalents. I think you have to fight two or three at a time. And then I think you have to fight Zuck and a Jad. Like, it's a freaking nightmare, man.
That's too much.
Here's your upgraded cape, though. It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Same animation.
Yeah, that's good.
So, yeah, it's
That's a burnt pizza cape.
Exactly. And there was a period of time where, again, we kind of hit the cycle over, where if you saw someone walking around in one of these, there were only, I don't know, maybe 100 of them out there for a while.
Sure.
And then, like, a whole... Oh, maybe we'll do an episode about this, because some people seem to really enjoy the, like, the social weirdness that comes from this game. There was a whole market that built up around... A black market that built up around selling these capes. Because they're such a status symbol, because it is the best melee cape in the game, and because it's so freaking hard, people would pay other humans human money to log into their account and do the fight cape
for them.
Which is against the terms of service of the game. It is a bannable offense. Many people have been banned for it. You're also running the risk of the person you give your login information to just emptying out your bank.
Yoinking that account.
Yep. If you are Inferno ready, you probably have a couple hundred mil bank or more. So, yeah. Yeah. There's a whole... Uh-huh. There was a whole underground scene around the buying and selling of the ability to get a Inferno cape.
It's a very funny analog to something like Lemmy Soloer.
Yeah.
But yeah. At like an identity theft level, which is a fun twist.
Uh-huh. Yeah, pretty much everything in RuneScape has an identity theft angle to it.
Great.
Because why spend 400 hours building an account when you can steal one?
Yeah, fair enough.
400 hours.
Who am I kidding? And 400 cool
days.
Cape.
Why spend 400 days building an account when you can steal one? Yeah. So I think we'll probably leave the fight caves there. I do want to cover Moral Wreck in detail and the Czar in detail. They're super interesting. They have a whole caste system and a language all of their own. They have their own currency, Tokel, which is actually the remnants of a deceased Czar. So these like magma is obsidian monsters eventually dry out and turn into obsidian statues, which they then chip apart to use as currency.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool stuff.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But I wanted to get this one out of the way because it's such a, like, an iconic piece of RuneScape history.
Yeah. That's incredible, man. Jad. What a Jad.
So yeah, Jad drops you, like, the only real drop is the fire cape. You do get some Tokel for completing the caves or for however far you get. So based on I can't remember if it's the number of monsters you kill or just the waves, you get awarded a certain amount of Tokel, which you can spend in Moral Wreck. It's really important for Iron Man and a couple other things, and it kind of actually underpins a bunch of the economy, now that I think about it, with Chaos Runes and Uncut Gem. We'll do an episode on it.
But the fire cape is not on a drop table. Like, you beat Jad, you get fire cape.
You beat Jad. If you don't die, then you get the fire cape. It is possible to kill Jad and also die yourself on the same game tick.
Oh.
Uh-huh. If that happens, you get... Anytime you die, you get teleported to the entrance of the cave, outside of the cave, back in, like, the middle of Moral Wreck. If that happens, your boss log counter goes up by one. It registers that you did kill Jad. You do not get the cape.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that. At least games like Elden Ring have the the kindness of you go down and it, you just wait there for a second and says demigod felled, and you're like, okay, cool, it registered. We're done. We don't have to go deal with that again. You're telling me I don't even get a cool cape and I kill him?
I like how we've reached the point where RuneScape is more punishing than FromSoft. Yeah.
Yeah. I will lose my identity and I don't get a cape. That's worse than a FromSoft game.
Yep. So yeah, you only get tackled. There is a chance. Have we talked about pets at all? I don't know if we've talked about pets.
I don't think so.
So most bosses on their drop table, there is a chance that you get a pet, which is typically a small version of that boss that follows you around. Uh-huh. It's just a little guy. Just a little guy. They're all pretty rad, and they're all entirely useless from like a strict utilitarian standpoint.
Do they follow you around like Pikachu, though?
Yes.
I mean, absolutely. That sounds including pretty good to me.
Including a little Jad guy who just follows you around wherever you're at.
That's really good. So it is
exclusively a flex. The drop rate on Jad's pet is not bad. Usually the pet drop rate is like in the 1 out of 2,000 to 5,000 range.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah. I want to say the drop rate on Jad's pet is like 1 out of 67.
Oh. Something like that. That is manageable.
Yeah. Keep in mind, those other bosses you're typically killing in like 2 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, there's no like teleport to Zoro's cave easy version of this.
Yeah, and you have to go through all 62 waves prior to Jad every time. So you're looking at like, if you're fast and good, I don't know, 30 minutes is not unreasonable, but probably closer to 45 to an hour for most people.
Yikes. Yeah, so do that 70 times.
Yeah, which I don't have the Jad pet. I do have this resin cast of a Jad on my desk, which I talk to when I debug code, but I don't have the actual Jad pet. So maybe that'll be a stream opportunity someday.
Which one's the more real one, though? You know, the one you can talk to and pet, or the one that follows you around in a game?
Probably the one that follows me around in the game.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. And no one else knows that you have it. You know, they can't see it on your desk.
Yeah.
That's great. I need to know more about this volcano town and also why there are fight caves and why a dude is like, hey, you should go in there and then I will give you a fire cape for doing that. There's a lot of questions going on with why this man has a fire cape and also why he has a fight cave.
There is also a PvP minigame in Mortal Rec where you're fighting other players. It's a cool space. So we'll totally do a follow-up episode there. And yeah, maybe we'll stream a Jad run.
I would be curious to see how this works, and mostly to make you screw up significantly around the level 25 mark.
Oh man, yeah. I still I've done this a number of times. You can get Jad as a Slayer task. I don't think we've really talked about Slayer, but it's one of the skills. Killing Jad under those conditions gets you a bunch of XP in Slayer, which is a notoriously slow skill.
Okay.
So it's a good way to get a bunch of Slayer XP in a kind of interesting way all at once. So I still fight Jad for that, and I don't want that pet. So I've done, I don't know, 5 of these maybe more. I'd have to check my boss log, but I still shake a little bit every time. It's not bad anymore. I usually kill him, but on stream it would be a nightmare.
Yeah, I bet.
So yeah, we can force me through that. That's fine.
Nice.
Maybe that'll be.
We should do that.
That'll be my foot in the door to start playing again, maybe. And we can go through some of the like the gear choices and the strategies and some of the other more in-depth stuff through there. But yeah, I think we'll leave Jad and the volcanic city of Mortal Rec for now.
Fantastic. I am ready to come back to the volcanic city.
Yeah, we'll save. Yeah, there's obsidian armor. There's infernal eels. All of the onyx jewelry released along with Jad. We didn't even talk about that. That's a whole new tier of jewelry that were all best in slot, and we're better than the Amulet of Glory that I spent too much time talking about last time we did one of these. So there's more ground to be tread in Moral Wreck.
Awesome. Yeah, we will come back here. Cool. Yeah, I think that will be an episode then. Thank you for listening. GordonHamburger.com is the place to go for links, words, and videos. I just actually am about halfway through a playthrough of Kona. I streamed that for another 2 hours the other day, so that video is up on the YouTube if you want to adventure through some weird Canadian tundra times. What else? Our music is by Nicholas Cahill. Links to the SoundCloud where you can hear some of his other stuff in the show notes. Please rate and review the show on your podcast player of choice. And we will be back next week with another Codex entry on some other weird monstrosity that is potentially haunting us in our childhood nightmares.
Yeah, we could tell you what we're going to do now, but we would change our minds between now and when we recorded anyway. So
exactly. All right. See you later. Goodbye.
Bye.